Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, we're here. I'm with a man that I spent a lot of time with in football season. He's Bo Rude. We kind of have a plan. We kind of don't. I mean, it's been a while since we've done one of these here.
I remember this place. It looks strange, but something is familiar about this studio.
This is good. This is good. We almost have so much. I mean, we're going to stick with Husker football, and there's kind of been a decent amount that's happened.
We missed all the transfer portal news.
All the portal
since
stuff.
Our last pod.
Yes. I mean, all the portal stuff. We need to get into. There's been a hiring of a quarterback's coach, but I think the most pressing question is the NBA All-Star game. Is the NBA All-Star weekend, is it savable? Is it worth saving?
I read a blurb on it this morning, and I turned to the game last night.
I didn't watch it.
For all of 1 minute. And
was it as bad as people
yes,
make it sound
it,
like
it was?
It was
unwatchable. Like, it looked like... You know, the charity basketball games
yeah.
you see where it's like,
yeah, people are really
you're going
around.
Half speed. It's truly half speed. And it was like they were throwing full court passes like out of bounds and they're launching threes. And, you know, it's just like it's not even like a like, can't you go at practice speed? Like, hey, this is like a how we practice.
I wonder
like
what
at
it,
your practice.
I wonder what it
try.
Is. I wonder why the All-Star week because it's been a slow like. Why the All-Star Weekend has gotten to where people have just slowly not done the dunk contest and not done the three-point shootout and then not tried in the...
It's the same reason they do the minutes restrictions. Once they went to minutes restrictions, I bet you it's like, and the All-Star game is getting worse. There's no incentive for these guys to try. Like, there's none.
Right.
You can say, hey, do captains, do whatever. Like, I think the only way these guys will try... is if it's like, I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how you
it's
get
like,
them to try.
It's
I really
gotta
don't.
Be either like, you if your team wins, like, or like your team in the gets one more game, or I don't even.
I don't know what it would be.
But then
I don't
it's East or West, so it doesn't
because I don't. I'm not in favor of like what Major League Baseball was doing of like the winner of the All-Star game gets home.
Home field yeah.
in the World Series. Like, I'm not in favor of that for the NBA Finals.
Yeah, it's...
But I don't know what it is, but I don't...
Here would be the real thing, right? Like winner take all, each guy gets $1 million.
Yeah, maybe you'd have to do it like
you know
the in-season tournament kind of a thing where it's like you put money on the line.
And some of these guys are so wealthy, though, that a million would still make a difference, but not as much as you probably think.
And that's because
they're making $500,000 a game anyway, probably.
Right, right. So it's really not that.
If you're making 25 or 30 million,
if you're LeBron
season,
James, isn't this sounds sad, but like, does winning $1 million and risking
a million would be a lot to some guys, but still, it's amazingly not that much to them. So, Nick, I think if it's not a dollar amount that moves them. Which I don't think the NBA wants to shell out that kind of money, unless they had a sponsor that was willing to pay it, right? But that's a lot because there's how many guys are in the All-Star team?
Yeah,
12?
Yeah.
Each side? That's 20 some million. I mean, that's a big payout.
I don't know. I don't know if it's savable. I don't know if it's really that imperative to save it.
The NFL, I mean,
they basically punted on.
And they should. You can't have games that can't be played. All out shouldn't be played. It's not the game then.
But like, you're right though. Like it is interesting how I think I saw some quotes circulating from I thought it was Kobe that said it at one point of like guys play hard at like pickup games in
it's a mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. Like so guys those guys even like I'm into like on the Peloton they have you can now watch Netflix on the screen and so I'm rewatching The Last Dance and Like those, the Space Jam, remember how they would, like guys would go play hard there. It's interesting, like guys play hard in pickup, but then in front of, you know, an audience of millions of people, you don't play hard.
I think it is truly like a bad mindset that they feel like, well, we don't have to. And they're going to put the crutch of like, we don't want to get hurt. But really, it's a more of a mindset where they just don't take the game seriously. They treat it like a, like, I'm telling you, they like, yeah, you can get hurt in practice too. You can get hurt at pickup, but they do play to a degree harder. I mean, Nick, they scored 200 points on one side of the ball. Like that is embarrassing.
It is. Like, it is a little bit.
It's almost an embarrassment that they don't take what they do. Like, that's part of the entertainment of the league. Like, I trust me, I wouldn't like having to play in an all-star game that if I didn't need to, but at the same time, like, then don't play. I would just say this, like, if you don't want to play hard, then just don't play, and it's no sweat. Like, I don't think you should have this, like, we got to have all these great players going out there and pretending and not trying. Like, let the next guy that wants to play, like the semi-all-star play.
I guess. I don't know what the... Yeah, because, I mean, I think those guys feel like we're playing an 82-game schedule. This is my 1 week off. I got to go to Indianapolis and do a bunch of media and then play. I mean, but I don't know.
But they don't want to play.
They don't want to play.
And if you're not actually trying, then, like, look, it's like, let's be honest. You know you're not. Just honor system. You're not going to try hard and say, hey, I'm not going to give it. Then just don't play.
I agree.
No sweat off yet. You've earned your all-star, your all-star thing. It's fine. But, like, save it for the guys that will play just so it's worthwhile saving or just get rid of it.
Okay, before we get into Nebraska, then the other like, random sports question I had for you is, where are you at in now that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, back-to-back from Mahomes, he's got three Super Bowls now. Like, people are already, like, there's some people that are already calling him the GOAT. They're already putting him above Brady. Like, I'm such a Brady guy that I am, like, very, like, well, I don't know about that. I mean, he's really good, obviously.
He's got a ways to go. Like, the Brady legacy, which is so amazing, is the Nick, he did it for 20-some years. Like, Mahomes has been unbelievable his first, was he 7 years in?
That sounds right.
And he's been to, like, five Super Bowls or four Super Bowls now? 1, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's close, but he's not there. Like, Brady's got...
Is he seven Super Bowls?
He's seven.
I mean...
Nick, you've got seven.
We got seven Super Bowls. Like, so seven. Let's slow down. Let's slow down.
You gotta remember,
bit.
Brady won. He won three in his first 5 years as well.
Right.
So he was it was on his second season he won his first year off, and then he won two in a row. So, I mean, he had 3 and 5 or 6 years as well. So, I mean, Mahomes is unbelievable. Like, he's maybe, like, eye test better than Brady was those years.
Right. Yeah, I've heard.
But, I mean, yeah, he's got a better arm. He's just, like.
More mobile and all those things. And, like, he does, like, Mahomes does stuff. He'll do something once a game where, like, I've never seen that before.
He's unbelievable, and he deserves it all. But, like, you can't call yourself the GOAT or call somebody the GOAT until, like, you've been through the gauntlet. You've survived like Brady survived. And Brady won late in his career. Like, he only got better.
And there's something to, like, winning with multiple iterations of a team. This still feels like, now they lost Tyreek Hill and all those things. But, like, let's see, like, what the next Chiefs 2.0 and then 3.0 and then all those kinds of things. But
you know what? You want to help Brady's legacy as much as anything is he went to Tampa and won.
Yeah, he went Tampa and won.
Because, I mean, it's like... It kind of like, you know, him and Belichick were always tied together and you wouldn't have one without the other still. But like Brady winning the seventh put him into a weird stratosphere. Even like you go, well, Jordan had said, like, Brady had seven.
Yeah.
Like it's a number now that's like, woo, that's hard to do.
It is hard to do. Okay. Those two things pressing that I wanted to throw at you. You know, look at that. So the first thing I wanted to throw at you, and I was listening to, I think it might have been on Sports Blanconic, we're talking about this, and they were talking about it to Steve Sippel, and we've kind of talked about the whole concept of Dylan Raiola and the pressure. Would he be under more pressure at Georgia or at Nebraska? And I think we took the pressure conversation and made it more about like how the team performs, and said, "Oh, at Georgia, it's my national titles. That's not how it is here. Therefore, more pressure at Georgia, whatever." But if you just make it about Dylan Raiola, is he the most hyped player ever at Nebraska entering into his career at Nebraska? Like, has there ever been an incoming freshman?
No.
I don't even think it's... Now, it's hard. Like, I can't fully remember what the conversation was like around T. Frage when he arrived.
We were so good that it didn't matter as much. Like, right. We were coming off of Orange Bowls and Big Eight championships. So it just... There wasn't this level of, like, he has to save us. Tommy Frazier didn't have to save us. He just was, like, maybe going to help us get over the top of, like, one of the top five teams in the country to number one.
Right.
Royal is like a, like, save the program is what we're asking.
So, I feel like as things have progressed, I've slowly been, like, more towards, like, the pressure conversation and the hype conversation. Like, I don't think we fully grasp what it's going to be like when this dude actually takes the field August 31st against UTEP.
Yeah.
He is the number one quarterback in the country, the son of one of the greatest players to ever play at Nebraska. It is a program that has been wandering through the desert in search of water and life. And this guy is supposed to be the dude that brings all of that stuff. Like, the more I thought about it, I was listening to John and Josh and Sip talk about it, and the more I, like, got my wheel spinning of, like, it feels tempered right now just because nothing's going on and all that stuff, but, like, I can't even know, I can't even think of who would even be a close...
There's no, Nick, there's
second.
No, there's no one even close.
He's the most, like, now... You brought up a point that, like, I do think the team expectations being lower help offset, like, what is asked of him or what is expected of him to do. Because I don't know if, like, am I expecting against UTEP and then against Colorado and, like, am I expecting Raiola to hit the ground and be throwing for 300 and lighten it up? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Have you really actually thought about, like, what you expect from him?
No, I don't. I don't expect him to like, I guess I guess it's weird. Expectations. What do I expect of him? I don't know that I'm, like, thinking that way.
I don't either. I know, so it's weird.
I'm just happy we got him because I actually think he's going to help us win. And I'm actually just fine with that. Like, I don't really have expectations. Like, he has to do this, yards, wins. I just want to see us, like, eyeball test. We're better and on the right path. And I'll be like, we done it. We're, like, we're going in the right direction.
Why do you think? Because I'm with you. Like, I've just thought about, like, oh, well, this he's going to help Nebraska win. That's how I've thought about it. Not necessarily anything specific with, like, with his performance
we've fallen to that level where we have not been to a bowl game in 7 years.
Yeah.
7 years without a bowl game. Our expectations are in the floor. It's like so it's like it's not like it was even with Frost where it's like our expectations were still you got to win 8 to 10 games, like that's the only acceptable. Like we're way below that. We're just like talking about like go to a bowl game.
Do you think okay
go like show us that we're like a viable team?
Okay, if I had to make you. The Dylan Raiola era at Nebraska, however long that lasts, hopefully it's 4 years, you never know, whatever.
Yeah.
Are you, his impact on the program, are you expecting a Big Ten championship? Are you just expecting to get back to going to bowls every year? Are you expecting to get into the 12-team playoff? Are you one of those crazy Kool-Aid chugging Huskers that think a national title appearance is potentially in the cards over the course of the next 4 years? Like, if you had to, like, bowls, Big Ten title, get to a playoff.
Oh, that's tough.
Isn't it, like...
That's tough. I mean, it's tough to throw those down. I guess with if you have a quarterback,
if he's all he's cracked up to be,
yeah, and you and we like in this program and like what I'm seeing of Matt Rhule, like I don't think you know Big Ten titles are out of the question. Now winning a national, even talking about national titles, I don't think it's even responsible to even speak of that right now.
I couldn't agree more. Like I won't even entertain it.
We're so far from that right now that I can talk about a Big Ten title in a couple years. Like you, like Northwestern, like. You know, like yeah. Teams like that have gotten close.
They've so gone
like,
to a Big Ten championship.
Yeah, they've gone to a
Iowa
Big Ten championship.
Went to a Big Ten championship.
And I'm going, like, okay, we can get to one, and you know, then it's a you know one in however many chance of winning. It's like, okay, I'm fine with that.
The thing that the whole dynamic is shifting because the West is going away. You're bringing in UCLA, USC, Oregon, Washington. So the path to getting to the Big Ten championship is about to get way harder.
Agreed.
So I think if I had to answer that question on like what am I really expecting, am I having a loser mentality that like I feel like I'm just expecting four straight bowl seasons? Like I don't know if I can but is that lame? Do we want to throw a Big Ten championship game appearance?
I don't think it's Nick, I don't think in the modern day college football, I feel like we're not in a bad spot. As much as that seems crazy, Matt Rhule, like I see, like it seems like he's making this.
Yes.
Whatever progress we're seeing to me seems real. It seems like we're really like doing things right. Raiola is obviously such a monster get for us and such a change in like, and in my own mindset of like, who would be willing to come here now? I think we're in the realm of like talking about getting to Big Ten title games. I think that's where my head is. But no national. I can't think national. I can only think like getting there. Even winning it is
See,
but like getting to a game, like a championship level game, is where I see us as a real potential.
The answer should be Big Ten championship game appearance.
Yeah.
I think if you polled Husker football, the actual, like, not unreasonable, but not too low of a bar would be that.
Yeah.
But I feel like the reason I was skewing more towards bowl seasons is, like, I am officially in that spot of, like, I gotta see Nebraska get over just the first bar of getting to six wins.
Well, that would be this season's goal. I would say if you would say like what's next season's goal, that and then the 3-year goal would be can you get into a big
so that's maybe where like
game.
Yeah, like for me to even like legitimately entertain the bigger conversation, like it almost is like you got to clear this first hurdle because I also I listen to a lot of local media to just like to hear other thoughts to see how it like it hits me and then that'll get me thinking about something. But Michael Sevier asked this question and I thought it was a great question. Did last year feel different, or did it just feel like a continuation of years past?
Oh, I don't know that it felt.
It felt like a continuation to me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that offense. You look at that offense and you go, "Wow." I mean, it looked like a regression. The offense did, but I don't think what Matt Rhule is doing feels like he's doing something different, like in his recruiting and it just something.
The CEO element of like the messaging and the branding. I'll give you that. Like if from that perspective, I suppose things feel different, feel a little better, I guess.
Yeah.
But in terms of like what things looked like for four quarters every Saturday,
and our inability to close games.
It felt like a continuation. It felt like Nebraska underachieved. It felt like they lost games they had no business losing. And then it feels like we're now in that spot of what you just did, where we're trying to sell progress in the absence of winning.
Yes.
I agree.
I think to me, it all comes down to, though, this, like, we've never had a Dylan Raiola. We've never even sniffed it, right? Like, so our problems seem to come in the last minutes of quarters of the half and the end of the game. And I don't know if that's been all in the quarterback or play calling or a clutch thing throughout the team, that mentality, but like, that is one position that can just erase. I mean, we were just talking about Patrick Mahomes. Like, you give him the ball in the last 2 minutes, the Chiefs win. Almost every time.
Right.
Nick, almost every game he plays in, he wins he's won three Super Bowls on three plays, essentially. Like,
right.
No time left. Over. Like,
right.
He's so freaking clutch. It's remarkable how clutch the guy is. And so that's where
So is it as simple as, like, if you just put a real difference maker at the quarterback, is that the penicillin shot that's just going to cure everything?
If we did everything else as bad as we've played that position in clutch moments, then it wouldn't matter. But we've actually played pretty good football for the last handful of years.
Right.
Like, defensively, right? We've had some good defensive seasons and, you know, it played like pretty good. Like we always say, like, from the 20 to the 20, but we've like sucked in the red zone, sucked in the clutch time. And so, like, I don't know. I think we don't want to get ahead of ourselves and say, oh, it fixes everything. But I do think it gives us the first legitimate chance to be like, we can be a little bit different now.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, it does feel like there's a lot going right where you like the defense was fantastic. You're returning everybody. Tony White's coming back. You land Raiola. So I'm not naive to like the things that are happening outside of what happened on Saturdays in the fall that like are improve that like feel like the arrow's trending up.
Yeah.
But it also like I just, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer wet blanket on anything, but I do feel like it is important for people to just for your like mental health to like stop for a second and really go back to wherever you watch games. Everybody's got your chair, your couch, your spot in the stadium. Really go back and remember what things looked like at times. There were moments where you were like, what was that? What just happened?
Our quarterback play last year was unbelievable, but the preceding last year and the preceding 5 years, we cannot win the clutch. That's who we are.
Right.
And until we prove that different this season, that's who we are.
Right.
And let's be real about that. And that's what I think you're trying to say. Maybe.
Yeah.
We are that.
Yes.
So even though every
you are
off
that
season,
until, yes.
Every offseason we're not.
We can get excited.
One more year of Adrian Martinez getting older, he'll then now, like, no. We are that
right
until we show we're not.
So maybe that's it. Like I have in the fridge a whole bunch of Kool-Aid. I got a keg
of
Kool-Aid.
Not to.
Like it's ready to go. But before I open that fridge and pop the keg, like they need to get over that.
But here's what's hard. Dylan Raiola is the biggest Kool-Aid jug I've ever seen.
He really is. I know. That's what's so hard about it.
He's big Kool-Aid right now.
I know. And it feels like, in spite of all of Nebraska's shortcomings, like, could Nebraska continue to just be who they've been, but instead of Heinrich Harburg or Jeff Sims or whoever at quarterback, you insert a real player there?
Yeah.
Maybe
but
things
you know
change.
Okay, let's be tougher on Nebraska than we are. Okay, so we obviously think you put Dylan Raiola, every problem goes away. But I will argue, we're talking about Mahomes. He's had Tyreek, or he's got Kelce,
like arguably the greatest tight end of all time.
Yeah, and like he's had guys that,
and he's got Andy Reid.
So Reid always makes the right like
shotgun
clutch
trips,
call.
Cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
No, but continue.
Yeah. Down out in Arby's, and it's like. But you know, I think it was fourth and one, and he had that like Mahomes keeper with like he always makes those kind of like gutsy right calls that he's going to put it in Mahomes or Kelsey's hands in the clutch or Tyreek's hands when they had Tyreek, right? But like you always got to have the connection guys. It's like when it's time to go. Well, who's he going to throw it to?
So that's the thing too that I remember, and I said this on a pod a couple weeks ago talking about some stuff, but I vividly remember, I can't remember what game it was, but like we recorded a recap pod. It was maybe like halfway through the year, and we turned off the mics and we were talking about the offseason, and you said to me, Rhule needs all new skill guys next year.
Yeah.
And I agreed with you.
Yeah.
And it looks like that's going to be the case. So you get Raiola, you get a new quarterback, Raiola. Yeah. I think your starters for day one, I think you get the Oregon running back transfer. My guess is Dante Dowdell is your starting running back game number one.
Yeah.
And then my guess is your number one and number two receivers are going to be Isaiah Nair from Texas and then Jamal Banks from Wake Forest.
Yeah.
So the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. Pella was just at my house installing some new windows and a new front door. And take it from me, working with Pella from start to finish was a great experience. I started in the showroom in Omaha and really got a great feel for the whole process of what goes into installing a window or installing a door into your home. And I was able to get a much better sense of what I was going to be installing in my home because I was able to actually like feel a door, look at a window, open the blind, close the blind. And then from there, the in-home consultation process with Debbie was outstanding. Just the whole care and the precision from their entire team, it was second to none. And the Pella experts, when they came in to install, man, they are impressive. They were able to finish the job quickly. And then the care they use with the drop cloths and all that stuff around the windows and inside my home was great. They were in and out. And my place is honestly cleaner now than before they arrived. I couldn't be happier with how it all turned out. I love my windows, especially my bay window. I love my front door. And it's really kind of changed and transformed the front of my house. And it's so cool. Every time I pull in my driveway, I get to look at those things, man. Working with the whole team at Pella, it just was an A-plus experience. If you need some new windows, a new door, you got to go with the team at Pella. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. The offensive picture needed to change from a personnel standpoint, and at least right now, it looks like it is going to be different.
And I'll say this, I actually trust the transfer. Our transfer record has been our best. It's like been our most consistent thing. It's like, give us a transfer receiver, Trey Palmer, Mr. Speed. And then you had Billy Kemp and Marcus Waters. I mean, like, those guys have been our best receivers by a mile.
Right.
And they've been transfers for 1 year. They come in for 1 year. So, like, I actually am like, I trust that more than who we've developed almost. So, I think that those are going to be our guys. And they've at least been productive players on real teams before.
Yeah.
Except for Dowdell's never really carried the ball consistently.
Dante Dowdell. He's got 17 carries. He was a freshman, 17 carries, 90 yards, one touchdown.
Yeah.
So he hasn't done much, but I mean, I don't know. I'm already like greatest player of all time.
You know what? He's actually not like a flashy guy. He's a bigger guy. I watched a few clips of him, and he's a big guy who is like a one cutter. Like he's downhill one cut, and that's fine. Like, but he's like a real physical presence, which I think I'm fine with. As a guy that's going to sort of like, give us an option until, somebody else develops or steps up or whatever. So that's good. He's a good addition. But I think the big difference is we need those receivers.
Yeah, so Nair was only 1 year at Texas, one catch, 14 yards. But at Wyoming, like in 2021, he had 44 catches, 878 yards, and 12 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Jamal Banks, 4 years at Wake Forest, incredibly productive. Last year, 59 catches, 653 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's got 13 touchdowns for his career. He's got over 1,000 yards for his career. he's got over almost 100 catches for his career. Like, those guys, I think, are going to be, you assume, are going to be difference makers, and they needed to change the offensive picture. But you know what's weird is, do you know what this, and we've talked about this before, like, what this offense is going to look like, though?
No, I have no idea.
And because I feel like we've heard different things at times. Like, remember this time last year, there was a whole talk about running the ball and using a fullback, and Satterfield was on a crusade about the huddle. He loved the huddle. They even ran some option then last year. But then I hear Matt Rhule say things like, boy, if Satterfield had it his way, he would air it out the whole game. And I'm like, well, okay, well, like, you kind of hear a bunch of different things. And then obviously the fact that they go get Jeff Sims, then they get Danny Kalen. Those two quarterbacks aren't the same. Then they go get Dylan Raiola, who's just got a cannon, throws it 75 yards. Like, I don't know what this offense is going to look like. Do you think they want to run the ball? Do you think they want to air it out?
I think that they will be more, quote unquote, pro style under Raiola. So I just don't think they're not going to run option with Raiola. His build to me is a guy you actually don't want to run much. He's a big, thick bodied guy, right? So he can move a little bit, but I don't think they want to run him. Like, he's not Harburg type of speed, right? He's not that kind of guy. So I think they're going to, whether they're out of the gun or under center with him, it's going to be more pro concepts, I want to say, with him. It's just like, I just don't think they're going to be moving him quite as much.
Rhule has referenced San Francisco.
Yeah.
As like some of the stuff that they want to do. I don't, it's just interesting to me that I'm not sure I know what things are going to look like.
I like the San Francisco reference just because I've watched them, you know, I probably watched four or five games with them this year, and they got Debo and Christian McCaffrey,
Kittle.
And like, and they got a fullback that's a good player too. He's an all pro, but they just like, they use those guys all over the field. They kind of do the positionless thing where it's like McCaffrey's at receiver, Debo's at I-back, Kittle like will be, you know, it's like, it's really nice for keeping the defense like uncomfortable with like what to expect.
Right.
But they get the ball to Debo and they get the ball to McCaffrey a lot. And that's what I like, is like, get your good players the ball all the time. And it doesn't matter how you get it to them, just get it to them.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I mean, I just think, though, like, but are they running Purdy?
I don't know.
No, they're not running Brock Purdy, right?
No.
So, like, that's how it's going to be with Raiola, I see. It's like, they're going to protect him, and they're not going to run him at all. They got the guy they've been waiting for, so, like, they're going to protect him.
And it will be interesting, too, in early on, if obviously, at least initially, they're going to be the defensive side of the ball is the better side of the ball. Do you want to protect your defense and let them kind of lead the way? How much do you do that versus try to cultivate letting that offense develop early on? I don't know. I guess, you know, you're all excited about stuff and deservedly so, but then I just don't know. I don't even know if I have a great feel for Dylan Raiola, the quarterback. I'm doing a lot of assuming, like, okay, he's the number one guy. I've seen him throw it 75 yards, and he's got a cannon. But I don't know. I can't wait to see just like, even in the spring game, I can't wait to see like how he moves, what he looks like out there. I can't wait to see it.
He's a rare kid that his dad played in the NFL for a long time, and he's had a lot of access to a lot of unique opportunities. So I think that's the part with him that's, it's almost hard to judge him like a normal kid, because a normal kid doesn't have that much access on.
Yeah.
So, but I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is he gets to be the mid-year enrollee, which is like in the old days when the freshman came in and had to try to start coming off you're just trying to figure out where do I go to class? I got to move into a dorm. I'm not like, he gets to get through all that stuff now. Like, he's probably kind of through it now. Like, the worst month ever is your first month.
Well,
and he's done with that. He gets to lift real weights, work out hard. Like, you think you work out in high school? You don't work out in high school.
No.
You get to college, you really work out. He's going to have real practices, real installs, learn the hard way in the spring, and then get all summer to refine, fall camp. Like, he'll be a different player by fall camp.
And I think the fact that he has been so transient in what, like, three different high schools in 3 years, it has to help him. He's used to different cities, yeah, different teams, different coaches, different teammates, different, like, everything's different. For me I mean, when I was 18 years in Lincoln and all of a sudden I'm in Lawrence, Kansas, I'm like, you know, I mean, it shocks your system. Like, where's Bo at? Where's...
So, my mom usually makes a sandwich right now. There's no sandwich. This is weird.
I mean, breakfast in the morning, I was like, oh, man, what am I going to do for... And you just don't, like, you... He's more used to all that.
Nick Ball one day is like, his dirty clothes are in his laundry. He's like, well, so what happens now? Like,
the best thing at KU is they played a lot of Saturday and then Big Monday, ESPN. So mom would come on Saturday. I'd give her the biggest, like, I mean, I feel like it was like people in like the ET biohazard suits.
Laundry.
I mean, it was like, God knows what I was handing her, you know?
Mom's like, I love it.
Oh, got it, Peckle.
Thanks, Peckle.
And so she would take the laundry home on a Saturday and then bring it back to me on a Monday, like, folded and...
Chocolate cake with centerpiece cutout. Richie Bod took it. I know it. I've seen it.
But I can't believe, like, laundry, I mean, laundry's not that hard to do, but why is a college kid, you're like, man.
Because you just never had to do it. You're like, this sucks. I still think
I will say if you can't do laundry in a washer and dryer in your house, laundry's more of a hassle. Like, you got to go to like a laundromat, or you got to take your stuff. That sucks.
In at the dorm, you'd have to.
Yeah, that sucks.
It sucked. Yeah,
that's no fun. But Dylan Raiola is more equipped than one Nicholas Allen Ba was.
He'll have done laundry for 6 months.
He'll have gone to class,
and I do think that, like, you lift. Like, you make a lot. I remember, like, all the guys, like, your first, like, 6 months of, like, a real weight program, you put on, like, 20 pounds. Like,
right,
you really do.
Yeah,
you
right.
never really, like,
right.
smash food or, and lift.
That's what I was
going to
say, the food element of it, too. And, it, like, yeah. So you would think, like, his body's going to pop a little bit.
But he's going to get the reps. He's going to get the spring reps, and he's going to make a lot of mistakes. He's going to be – his mind's going to be spinning in March instead of spinning in – August. Yes. That's what we want.
Yes. And are you comfortable going into next season with the quarterback depth of just like basically three scholarship guys? Raiola, hey, get your hands off my Heine, Heineken, Heinrich Harburg, and Daniel Kalen. Are you cool with those three? I don't know who you go
it's
get.
It's hard with two freshmen. But it's also
nice that you do have Heine, like, at least Heine.
Serviceable.
Like, he won football games last year. Like, so you at least have a guy that is going to be your number two guy, which I assume Heine's going to be the second string guy, that he's got starting experience and he's won Big Ten football games. Now, I'm not saying he was just murdered people in these games, but like, he was the starting quarterback and they won.
Yeah. It's hard. That's hard because Kalen, I do think Kalen's got some potential too. But it's just like you've got two freshmen. So like we're going on a limb saying like Raiola is going to be ready to go. Like, but he's a rare case of like, God, he's the number one quarterback recruit in the country.
Right.
Like, I'm trusting that this is unique that we can say that. But yeah, I think it wouldn't be bad to have one more guy. Especially somebody with a little experience.
But I don't know who, you know,
who's coming in to back up.
Who are you going to go be like, we need a guy, you know. Like dating, like super hot, super cool, lets me hang with the fellas, keeps your mouth shut.
I'm recruiting a mistress. I won't marry you, and you know this.
I can't spend time
but
with you.
What if my wife leaves me? You'd be great.
That's exactly what it is.
But if my wife dies.
That's what you're basically, that's like, I know that analogy is funny, but like, that's kind of, you're looking for like, I don't want to marry you. Yeah. I want to keep you just like on the other side of town.
There's this outside chance my wife leaves me.
Just in case things fall apart,
yeah.
Wife goes out of the picture, then you would be.
And you'd be right. So we'd make sure you know all about my life. You meet my, you know everything, but you don't really get to, you know.
You're not going to really like live with me and like, I'm not going to like support you in the meantime. But there could be a scenario in which you would become like my girlfriend.
Yeah, you'd, and, you'd step in. You'd step in and be.
That's exactly be what you're. To... Good luck finding that in the portal. Good luck finding that in the portal.
Yeah,
okay. I don't know.
Not.
I don't know what you do. Speaking of quarterbacks, any thoughts on Glenn Thomas as co-offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach? He was with Rhule at Temple and Baylor. He was the OC and quarterbacks coach at Arizona State in 2022. He was the Falcons quarterback coach from 2011 to 2014, and he was just with the Steelers as an offensive assistant last year. I'm glad. I don't have a strong take on Glenn Thomas.
I don't either.
My only take is I think they need someone to coach the quarterbacks, so that's good. And I think they needed another mind in there. I don't mind another mind devising offensive game plans and all those kinds of things. So I'm like good with it, but I don't have a real hot take for you.
It fits with Rhule. I mean, he is a Matt Rhule guy.
Matt Rhule loves him some Matt Rhule guys.
And that's what you've kind of noticed about Matt Rhule. He banks on trust. He wants to, like the guys that are here are the guys that have worked for him in the past,
right.
And that shows you that like that's what he wants. I do think it's a good fit in the sense that this guy has coached quarterbacks in the NFL, in college for Matt Rhule, and I think it's probably a better fit for the team to get Satterfield just focused on calling the plays and letting this guy hone in on quarterbacks. And we have a horse, and if you got a thoroughbred, you got to have somebody that's like, that's all he's doing.
So that's, yeah, like I wish I had a stronger, like, coming up next, I'll tell you why Glenn Thomas is going to change the, like, I don't have that. But I think like you just laid out was perfect. It's like, it's what they needed. It's what they needed. And it's good. But
yeah.
I don't have any other major thought other than that.
It's not like a crazy. It's just kind of fits in line with what we've been doing. And he's already been with Matt Rhule, so it's not a big shocker.
I mean, Matt Rhule. If you haven't been with Matt Rhule,
hard to get in with Matt Rhule. Because you're not a Matt Rhule
guy. Like, I mean, you better.
So the first thing is like, well, are you a Matt Rhule guy? And they're like, oh, well, I was first, hoping to become Matt Rhule guy, but you're not.
But you're not
yet a Matt Rhule guy.
What comes first? Becoming a Matt Rhule guy or being a Matt Rhule guy? It's like, well, the only way to become one is to give me a chance.
Yeah, but
like,
you got to be one. You got to be one to become one.
I don't know. I mean, seriously, like, dude hires just like dudes that he trusts, which is, I mean, I
still
it.
Think he is a unique animal that I think he believes in himself so much that like he doesn't really care about the big credentials of the coaching staff. I mean,
right.
The Garrett McGuire, like all these hires are his guys that he has had his hands on, or they're very young that he just like, I'll show you what you need to know.
I will show you the way on how to coach, but like, yeah, I don't know. It's unique.
It's unique. But you know, like I said, this is where we'll see in a couple of years how right Matt Rhule is.
By the way, FanDuel set Nebraska's over-under wins for next year at 7.5.
Because they, Nick...
Do you think that
jug of Riola Kool-Aid, it's a really big jug because it came in the Riola-sized jug.
Right.
FanDuel, they're on it too. How can you not be? You look at the schedule, you got Riola Kool-Aid in the fridge... Nick, it's hard not to go
four after seemingly starting every first game. It was like game number one, you're at the Dallas Cowboys. Like it was just ridiculous, you know. But that UTEP, Colorado, Northern Iowa are the first three games. You get the first four at home. You get five of the first six games at home. Like you better. That's the only thing about a young quarterback. Like,
yeah,
you better hit the ground running because you better win if you want to get to the, yeah. You want to get the OVs of 7.5. You better be like 5-1.
Well, let's definitely not do predictions yet because that will always come. Was that a couple weeks before
on like going through. I wanted
we'll
to get.
I want to see a full spring and summer of Riola first, but it is understandable. This is where I'm saying like we always do this,
right?
And it's more understandable this year maybe than ever to say it, but I go, gosh, like what you said about like, we are the team that can't get to a bowl game and loses every game this close.
And I'm officially in the,
and you got to prove us.
Prove it.
We have to be, we have to prove
that
we're
ready
to
support you. And I'm ready to chug the Kool-Aid and I'm ready to go all in. And I see the ingredients for something that could special, like really special happen. But like before you do that, you got to prove that you're not the team that vomits on themselves and ends up going 5-7 every year.
Yeah. And I think what we find too is we show that immediately every year.
Yeah.
The first two games of the year, we're going to see it. So that is, at least I think we'll know pretty quick whether we have,
yeah, gotten over that hump a little bit.
You know,
because like Minnesota, right away, first game of the year, you go, oh, you haven't gotten over that thing.
Game that was ours if we just had a pulse on offense and we didn't.
Even Colorado, like, oh, you like, I know it wasn't in the crunch time, but like, you can't get out of your own way.
Yep.
You know, like, and I could go on and on and on, but like, it just seemingly. You're right. It's easy to assume the first couple of games are going to be blowouts, but I don't know. Like, who knows? Colorado, probably on the set. I mean, they're going to come in with Shedeur Sanders and those guys, and like, those guys are talented.
Yeah. They're going to be hyped again.
They're going to be hyped up. I remember even mentioning this to Barrett. I mean, Barrett was like, Northern Iowa is going to be a lot, like, those games are a lot harder than you think they're going to be.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we'll learn it pretty quick, like on whether or not they're going to be thrown up on themselves or not right away.
Oh my gosh!
By the way, the Big Ten, like all of a sudden, the Big Ten seems daunting with the addition of those four schools: Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA. But if you stop and think about the coaching situation in the Big Ten, it's like Michigan, Harbaugh's gone. Like, be interested to see what that looks like. Ryan Day is good at Ohio State. He's not Urban Meyer. Wisconsin, they had a weird year last year. Yeah. Washington lost their head coach. Caleb DeBoer is going to Bama. Or Dan Lanning at Oregon seems like a stud to me, but we'll see. UCLA lost Chip Kelly. USC is like kind of underachieved under Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Iowa's Iowa.
Yeah, UCLA's got Deshaun Foster in. That's a weird one.
Yeah, like, I guess I bring that up to just be like, the brands are still big in the Big Ten, and you're like, man, there's going to be quite the gauntlet. And I'm not saying it's not going to be, but, you know, it's not necessarily the murderer's row of coat. You know, instead of seeing Harbaugh or Urban Meyer.
Because it's turnover. Like, you see the turnover, and turnover is a benefit to us.
Yes.
Because we know what turnover does. It usually means, like, it's a little bit of a rebuild, a restructure, like you lose players, you lose that continuity. So, I mean, I would look for Ohio State to be in a good position because Ryan Day with Chip Kelly, that's probably,
oh boy, I know there's going
to
be some
that's
stuff.
That's probably a good
combo
there to get a little change of pace. But I mean, it's like, you know, Wisconsin, USC, UCLA, like, normally great programs, but we'll see. Just don't know. They're not stabilized right now.
Well, and we'll see, as we all found out. I remember when Nebraska was transitioning into the Big Ten, looking at the schedule and be like, they got to go beat Northwestern and Purdue. Like, I was the snob.
Yeah.
I came in thinking this was going to be like laughably easy, and it's proven to not be.
No, and you want sneaky? Here's sneaky. Big Ten football in November and December is cold weather football.
Right.
We got two LA teams. We got an Oregon team. We got a Washington team. Like, okay, Washington can handle a little bit of cold, right? But like, they're going to go into Northwestern. The wind's going to be howling. They're going to be like, I know this team sucks, but they're like, they're good at what they do. Like,
right.
You're going to go play Iowa and they're going to play a 9-6. And you're like, what is this? You know, like, what the heck? What is this? And you realize it's just different.
You, USC may have all the talent in the world, but go to Iowa City when it's 30 degrees and there's 25 mile an hour gusts, and Kirk Ferentz is runs a punter that is putting you at the one.
I need. He runs 17 zone reads and boots in a row, and you're like, coach, is keep doing it. Like, yeah, you know.
So I guess like there's going to be an adjustment for these schools now.
Yes. Yes.
And so just the sheer amount of teams in the Big Ten, and I mean, Oregon could have. I mean, you watched it. Like Oregon could have easily, probably played for a national championship. Washington played for the national championship. Certainly, you know, USC and UCLA. You typically have talent and all those kinds of things. And you put them into the Big Ten, which what has already been a challenging road with Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and all those sorts of things, but. And just if you stop and think about the transition element and you stop and think about like the head coaches that are there, it's a transition to be the word. Like there's transition coaching tenures, there's transition for coaches or programs into a different conference. I don't know.
We'll be kicking ourselves, even if we do well in the next handful of years, we're going to be kicking ourselves down the road when we look at this era. Basically, since Frost took over, like look at the Big Ten West.
Oh, God.
We had a chance.
Yes.
That if we did things right, we should have dominated the Big Ten West for these last 6 years. Because it's just, they were all down. I mean, it's like, yeah, I mean, Northwestern's fine, but like Northwestern, Illinois, Purdue, Iowa, Minnesota, like we should have owned that we should have at least been going to Big Ten title games.
And instead you went to bowl games.
We couldn't go to a bowl game, and now it's like, it is harder though. What you just said is like, okay, there's some transition, but like, let's not get this confused. Well, we just added three of the top 20 best historical programs in college football history to our conference. But that's going to make this harder.
Here are the final five games of the season for Nebraska. At Ohio State, UCLA at home, at USC, Wisconsin at home, at Iowa. That's fucking hard.
Stuff.
I hope, usually I am like so hate cold weather. Let's hope on November 2nd when UCLA comes to town, let's hope it is like a blizzard.
Yeah.
Let's hope, seriously.
That's to our advantage.
Yes.
That's how we get an advantage, is we get a little bit more acclimated to it. Even, you know, we have guys from different parts of the country, but like they get used to playing in this weather.
Let's hope.
And UCLA is coming off of like a 70 degree day, and they're like, what is, like, yes. They just go, what is this?
Instead of 70 and sunny, let's hope it is like early snow, freezing, horrible. Let's hope for that. So it'll be, it's just when you zoom out and think about the totality of the situation there, like you said, you're still bringing in a lot of top programs. It's going to be daunting, but transition in a lot of different ways for a lot of those programs. Any other things looming on your mind right now, or are you ready to wrap this thing up?
I'm ready to wrap, but I'm excited that we're back.
Yes.
Kind of football season is about, I mean, you know,
it's spring. A later spring ball for Nebraska.
When's the
27th is the spring game. So like, ooh, there's been times where so that means practice isn't going to start till
mid-March kind
of. Yeah. So I mean, it's a little bit later of a spring.
Okay.
Spring football, but you know, I'm very, very, very excited to see just what. It's funny how ominous things ended up kind of looking like. You didn't really get a sense of Jeff Sims. Nebraska fumbled 8 times in the spring game last year, and you kind of were like, what is this going to be, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how things ended up looking. I'm excited to see what Dylan, I mean.
I'll tell you this, Nick. You want to talk about ticket sales? They've been struggling. Like, my belief is it's not going to be hard to sell tickets next year.
No.
Dylan Raiola, he will put butts and seats next year.
Dylan Raiola, and then the defense is going to be solid again.
Ty Robinson coming back.
Polar Bear.
Luke Gifford, you know, yes. And then these other guys are all kind of like starting to shine.
Secondary guys.
Like all the Jacks and
the amount of times that somebody on like the perimeter would blow up like a smoke screen, and you'd be like, who is number 18?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Yeah. Prince Well, and
yeah,
we got a lot of these guys that are like, they're intriguing to see who's gonna like almost who's gonna separate themselves, because there's like five or six of those kind of guys. You're like, okay, they're all decent.
Do you think they're gonna hit again, be live again? I hope so.
I would think so.
Remember how terrible that was? Was it 2 years ago? The Frost last spring game was like,
that's a sign of things.
That was the most biggest waste of time. Bigger waste of time. The NBA All-Star game or the spring game 2 years ago?
I think
ago.
The All-Star game is worse than that. What's worse? I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll try to get into a little bit more of a cadence here to start talking a little bit more football as we get into the spring game. But we had a lot of different things. We had a lot of things to catch up on.
God,
I feel like we kind of caught up there.
Just the beginning. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
Okay, you get out of here, Bo. Get out of here.
A Herd At Sports Network production.